Testing 1 2 1 2 1 2. Today's message is called A Father's Love. Tell your neighbor, a father's love. I think I heard one person tell their neighbor. Tell your neighbor, a father's love. A father's love. In honor of Father's Day, and we're talking about a father's love. Amen. And you know what? We're going to go to Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. The King James says, train a child up in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And as little kids, we should train our kids how to act. The way you act, you can't tell your kids, don't do this, and they see you doing that. Okay? Now, I was a youth pastor for a couple years, and the biggest thing that I can find is that their parents would always tell their kids, I don't want my kids drinking. I don't want my kids smoking. I want them to do better for themselves. I don't want them to do like I do. But then they would sit there every day and drink and smoke and do all those things. And so, and then they would go to church. They wouldn't go to church, but they would tell them, go to church. Well, that's very hard because they go to church, but yet what they see at their house is what is changing their environment. That's what is building them up. We're only a little part, you know. As I was a youth pastor, I was only a little part of their lives, but the most impact that they would have was inside their homes. And so I would tell the parents, you know, well, you can't tell them not to drink when you're drinking. It just doesn't work, right? As a kid, it just doesn't work. And so we should train our kids as we want them to raise up, okay? And as I trained my kids, at a young age, I had my first daughter when I was 16, turning on 17, and even at that young age, I began to say, you know what? I'm not gonna do the same things that I was raised as. I'm gonna be there for my child. I'm gonna do things different. I want things different for them, right? And so, I never let them watch scary movies. You know, I didn't let them watch scary movies. The reason why, and I believe this, is that because they do not know fear unless you introduce them to fear. See, fear is the attack of the enemy. God did not give us the spirit of fear, right? But the spirit of power, of great power. That's what the Bible says. God did not give us a spirit of fear. And so as little as they are, if they're watching scary movies, they're going to begin to be afraid, right? They're going to have nightmares. They're going to have, you know, certain things. And so one thing that my daughter Mariah, the oldest, is that I would get up in the middle of the night and it would be pitch black, just dark. And I couldn't even see or anything, but I would hear her playing in her room with her toys. In the middle of the night, she'd be walking around and she wasn't afraid of the dark. Why? Because I never introduced her to fear. She had nothing to be afraid of. And then, you know, as they were getting older, I know sometimes we like to my little monsters or my little, you know, and those things are kind of cute, but you're kind of, names are very powerful. That's why in the Bible you see that when God called somebody out, a lot of the times he changed their names. And those names signify great things. And so my kids, I never called them anything but beautiful, intelligent. You know, I always called them, you know, great things. You know, I never put them down. I never did none of those things because I wanted them to grow up being great. And now, get this, because I said, I was a youth pastor. I studied a lot of things when, statistically wise, I can't even say that word, but you know what I'm talking about. It's either statistically or statistically. I don't know. One of those two. You know what I'm saying, though. But it's very confusing, huh? And some of you guys are like, statistically? Yeah. As a Mexican, it's very confusing to me, okay? But you guys know what I'm talking about. Just leave it alone. But so, and the thing is that it takes 5 compliments to replace 1 insult in a child's mind. So if you insult the child, if you tell them you can't do this, or you're dumb, or or something like that, it will take 5 compliments to replace that 1 insult. It is powerful. The words you speak to your kids are very powerful. The words you say to your kids are very powerful. You can build them up or you can break them down. Amen. Go ahead and put those verses up there. Now I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. If you guys got your Bibles, if not, it is up there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. I want to stop for a minute. See, it is telling you, like a father, we should be encouraging, we should be comforting, and urging them to live lives worthy of God, who calls them into his kingdom and glory. Amen. That is the ideal of what a father should be like. Is encouraging, comforting, and urging them to live worthy, their lives worthy for God. That's what it means. If you introduce them to God at an early age, they will not depart from it, right? That's what Proverbs 22:6. If you introduce them to certain things at an early age, they will not depart from him. Now, they might disobey you for a certain while in time. They might be disobedient to that for a certain while in time. But that will always play in the back of their minds, telling them, you know you're doing wrong. This is not how your daddy raised you. Amen? Now, I know my kids ain't going to be perfect. I already know that. And so when things come about, it's fine. My daughter, she's a teenager right now. And, I thank God she's not like the teenager that I was at her age. Because at her age, I had already gotten a person pregnant. I was out in the streets. She's taking college courses and she's going to school during the summer. Doesn't make sense to me, right? That's amazing. And so we're to be encouraging, comforting, urging them to live lives worthy for God. Let's read on. Verse 13. So thank God continually, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accept it not as a human word, but as actual, as it is actually is. The word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Now, what that means is that when you hear this message, just like you're hearing it right now, it is not yet accepting it as a man is saying it to you, but as God's word to you. Amen. This is this is not me. I can't come up with these things by myself. I can't do this by myself. If it wasn't for the Spirit of God, I couldn't preach to you guys. Amen. I don't know. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the education. I don't have the things, but God gives them to me to give to you. Amen. So as you hear it as the Word of God, that's what you're doing today. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us, did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will be has not been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have his hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. See, we are called to be children of God. We are called to be children of God. Let's read on. I'm going to preach to you guys for a little bit. Verse 4. Everyone who sins, in fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that that he might take away our sins. Him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. So we are called children of God. Okay, let's stop real quick. We are called children of God. Okay? Why are we called children of God? Because he called us. We didn't call him. We didn't search for him first. He searched for us first. He found us first. He saved us first. Amen? He created us. He called us into the light, out of the darkness, from what we were being before what we are now. Now, we ain't perfect, right? We are not perfect. We're far from it. But we are trying to obey God's word and commands now. So before, we didn't know him. Before, we kept on, we didn't know him. But once we know him, we stop those foolish ways, right? We begin to change a lot of the things that we don't do what we used to do. See, it says, one who lives in him keeps on sinning. Why? Because the Father is changing you. The Father is motivating you. He is shaping and molding you into a greater being. And I know some people say, well, that's why I'm not a Christian. That's why, because you guys can't have fun. You guys can't do this. You guys can't do that, right? A lot of people will tell you that, but let's get it straight. Tell your neighbor, we're going to get it straight. See, God is not trying to stop you from having fun. The reason he tells you don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, is because he's trying to stop you from you hurting yourself, from you destroying your own life. He's trying to stop from falling into a ditch, right? It's like if you see somebody and they're in the dark, right? And you know there's a canal there. Say you know there's a canal there. It's pitch dark. They can't see it. And they're walking straight to it. And you tell them, hey, don't go that way. Stop. Stop. Right? Why? Because you love them first, right? Or you care about them. Now, if you didn't care about them, you'd probably let them fall. That's kind of mean. But if you care about your friend, right, and they're going, right, as a father cares for his child, they're walking to the canal, and the father says, stop. Right? Why? Because he knows that if they go a step further, they're going to fall into this canal. That's what God is doing. That's what God is doing. He's trying to stop us from us harming ourselves, from us going into those things, from us destroying our lives, right? And the devil is just like, oh, keep on coming, keep on coming. This is fun, right? He'll tempt you. He'll tempt you. Oh, come on, come on. No, don't worry. Don't listen to your father. Don't listen to your God. Come on, keep on going this way. Oh, yeah, keep on drinking this, keep on smoking this, keep on sniffing this, right? And he'll begin to destroy you if you start listening to him. See, God wants the best for you. God wants and has the best for you. Tell your neighbor, God wants and has the best for you. God is a true loving father, not an abusive and angry father. He's not angry. He's not angry at the things that you're doing. He hates the things that you're doing, but he loves you. Understand that. He doesn't hate the sinner. He hates the sin, but loves the sinner. He hated my sin, but he loved me. He loved me. I was sinning. He hated what I was doing because what I was doing was destroying my life. And what he had was better for my life. What he had was greatness for my life. He loved me. So, what does it say? Let's keep on reading. Verse 7. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Amen. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. They have been born again. Amen. This is how we know the children of God. This is how we know the children of God. So the devil is just there trying to destroy your life. He's trying to lead you astray. He's telling you, oh yeah, you can do this. It's fine. It's no worries, right? He's been doing that from the beginning. He's been doing that from Adam and Eve. Oh, go ahead, eat of the apple. They had it all made. If they wouldn't have done that, we would have been all made. We would have been living in a big garden with all kinds of stuff, and we never would have had to work. We never would have had to worry about money. We wouldn't have had to worry about bills. We wouldn't have to worry about sickness. We wouldn't have to worry about all these things. God's plans are good. Now, we can go back to those things if we start obeying God's word. God is a loving God. God is a great God. God is an almighty God. He is a great Father. See, maybe some of you guys didn't have a good dad. Maybe some of you guys didn't have a good father. Maybe as a kid you were neglected, abandoned, called names, hurt physically or emotionally. Maybe that was you. And you say, well, how could God let this happen to me? How could God let my father treat me this way? If God is good a father, why would he let him do this? Because it's not that he let him do it. Okay, that wasn't his plan. That wasn't his plan. That wasn't God's plan. See? Let me tell you something. They misrepresented God. They didn't listen to God's instructions. They didn't listen to God's word. They didn't listen to the things how God told them to raise their children. They didn't listen to that. Now, that was my family. That was my family. Now, my family weren't, they didn't abuse me or they weren't so mean or anything like that. They didn't. But I was never taught love. I was never taught. You know, they were never really around for me. And so, they didn't teach me godly principles. They didn't teach me the way of God. They didn't teach me none of those things. I remember them sending me off to a Catholic church and telling me, go do your first communion. And that's about the only time I went to Catholic church. I didn't even go to Catholic church. And so, but there had to be something to change it all, right? Just because your father wasn't the greatest father, maybe some of you didn't have a father. Maybe, you know, I never even knew my real father. But just because that was done in your past doesn't mean that you can't break it now and move forward and raise our kids now, right? Maybe some of us weren't the best fathers at the beginning, but God has turned us around now, amen? See, and then I see some of you guys, man, some of you guys don't have your own children, but I see you guys taking care of other people's children. I see that. I see that. You're trying to raise them in godly principles. You're trying to raise them and bring them to God. Amen. God will bless you for that. God sees. So whatever it was before, I had to break it. Whatever my family was before, I had to say, you know what? I'm changing this. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to be a better provider. I'm going to be a better all this, right? I changed it. Why? Because God changed me. Because I didn't take my actual father's advice. I took my heavenly father's instructions. I took his advice. What does he say? How does he act towards me? Right? He's not an angry God. A lot of people misrepresent God as an angry God. A lot of religions misrepresent him as an angry God. Oh, he's going to strike you down if you don't listen. No, that's not how God is. That's not. He's a loving father. He wants the best for you. He might tell you, don't do that because you're going to hurt yourself. Don't do that because you're going to fall. Don't listen to the devil because he's trying to mislead you, right? But he's not angry. Those are the angels. They're stomping. They're like, go on, preacher, preach it. See, have you noticed it only happens when I start preaching? I'm telling you. I know my heavenly father, and he's up there saying, yeah, go, boy. I'm raising you right. Make me proud. That's what he's doing to us. That's what he's doing to us. And all the angels are dancing. They're rejoicing like, yeah. Right? God is patient. God is caring. God is loving. God is good. God knows everything about you. He made you in his image. He knows everything about you. He even knows how many hairs you have on your head. That's how much detail he knows about you. He knows exactly. He's got it numbered. Someone's going to try to go home and count them. It's going to take you forever. It's going to be impossible. You could try it. You could try it. That's how much God knows you. He knows every inch of you. He knows you inside and out. He knows your thoughts. You were created in his image. What does that mean? That means you are great. Because God is great, amen? You were born to be great. Somewhere along the line, the devil told you you were nothing. You were a nobody. Somewhere down the line, somebody might have told you you can never do anything. But no, you were created in God's image. You are great. You are marvelous. You are wonderfully made. You are fearfully made. Amen? So when you wake up in the morning and you don't feel like getting up, you don't feel like, look at your father and say, thank you, Father. I'm created in your image. I have the energy. I have the greatness. Today I will accomplish. You've given me power. By the way, that's Matthew 10:30 that says he knows how many hairs you have on your head. In case you're wondering, like, what is that? It's Matthew 10:30. See, the devil has tried to beat you down and keep you down, but you were made for greatness. You were made for much more. You were made to accomplish. You weren't made to lay low. You weren't made to be defeated. You weren't made to just lay down there and die. You were made for greatness. The devil might tell you, oh, no, no, no. You see, you're never going to go do this. If a door closes, don't worry about it because God's going to open 10 doors. Don't worry about it. See, they cannot stop God. The devil cannot stop God. He cannot stop God's plan on your life. So don't worry about it. Give it to God. Let God lead you. Let your Father lead you. Walk with them hand in hand. Just like I crossed my daughter in the street and I told you, look both ways, right? Look both ways, okay? No cars coming. Come, baby. I grab her hand. I'm going to protect her. I got her, amen? I was watching a video, and this guy, it was like a fight video, and this guy, he kicked this child. I was like, oh! I wanted to straight in there go and punch in the screen, just pull him out. Couldn't believe he did that to a child. It's all right. Pastor can punch a guy in the face if he's hitting a child, huh? You best believe it. You best believe it. I will do it if I see it happen. I mean, this guy just kicked his child, man. He was beating up his wife or something. It was a video on YouTube. I don't even know what it was. It was like some fights video. You know, they put those crazy fights video. And this guy was beating up this lady and kicked the child, man. This child had to be like 2 years old. Just straight. See, that's not a godly man. That's a poor excuse. That's not what God. God loves the children, amen? God loves his children. He loves the little ones. He said, if anybody hurts those little ones, it is better for them to tie a noose around their neck, throw themselves off into the sea. So, see, God will comfort, he will protect you in times of need. He will give you strength and courage to stand and overcome. Let me read that to you again. Let me say that again to you because you need to get it down. God will comfort and protect you in times of need. He will give you strength and courage to stand and overcome. Walk to God. Run to God. Go to your Heavenly Father. Ask him what you need. He loves children. He's waiting for his children to say, what do you need? What do you need? I am here. Call on me. A lot of the times, though, we don't call on God. We're just going, oh, well, I got this. I know what I'm doing. God is our provider. God is our protector. See, let me tell you something. If I would have listened to God's instructions in the beginning, I wouldn't have to go through all the mess that I went through. I wouldn't have to. God, our Father, will try to protect us from getting hurt. He'll try to protect us from our hearts being broken. He'll try to protect us from those certain situations. But we tend to run away and go towards the devil. We tend to go towards the other things. We tend to go towards our friends. And our friends don't give you no good advice. I'm sorry, they try. They try. They only know. And if you don't have godly friends, then they really don't know that much, do they? They try. So don't run to your friends. Don't go to them for advice. Go to God. Now, you might go to a friend for some help. Hey, help me move this. That's fine. But go to your word. Go to this for advice. Your Father's instructions are in here. Your Father's word is in here. And what did we say? This is not just man written. This is God. This is God's living word. It's alive. And if you put it in your lives, you will live and live more abundantly. You were made for glorious things. But somewhere down the line, we think we're not. The world beats us down. The world kicks us down. The world slaps us down. And we think, oh, this is it. This is all I can accomplish. No, you were made for greatness. Run to God. Is your heart broken? Have you been mistreated? Have you been abandoned? Whatever it is, run to God. He is a good Father. He is a loving Father. He is a protector, a provider. He's Jehovah Jireh, the God Almighty. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen. There is none like our Father God. There is none like him. He proved his love for you. He proved his love for you by sending his son to die in your place so that you may have life. Think about it. That's how much he loves you. He sacrificed his only son for you. That's how much he loves you. You know, that's the reason Satan hates you. Understand that. God said that if you seek him first with all your heart and delight in him, follow his ways, he will give you the desires of your heart. Seek him first. Delight in him first. Delight in his word. Seek his word. Seek his counsel. Seek him first. Delight in his word. Every morning, delight in his spirit. Delight in him. But he must be first. He must be above all. See, I know a lot of us can use money, but God has to be first. Do it the way he tells you to do it, and then that money will come. It's been many times I couldn't pay my bills. God provided. I did it his way. He will give you the desires of your heart. You know why? God put those desires in you. He put those things in you. I'm very persistent in accomplishing so many things. I'm very persistent. And I am my greatest critic because I know I can. So I will find a way to do it. I will find a way to accomplish it. But we must go to him. Because sometimes we're beating our heads and we're like, man, I can't do this. I'm trying this and I'm trying this and I'm trying that. Well, what is God telling you? Have you asked God? Have you asked him? Because the Bible says, seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. He is a good God. If I'm a pretty good God, I'm going to say I'm an okay dad, okay? And if I like to give my kids things, whatever they want, right? Not everything, because I don't have the money for it, right? But I'm pretty good about trying to give my kids what they want, what they need, right? Now think about that. How much more is God? How much more is God? If you ask something from God, believe that you will receive it. He is a great God. He owns the whole world. So, I mean, he owns everything, the universe, everything. He created everything. Everything is his. He holds everything in the palm of his hand. He is mighty. He is great. And if he is your father, he will provide. Believe that. He will provide. He will provide. So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Will you be his child? Will you let him be your father, your God? Because sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't let him provide. Sometimes we think we could do everything on our own. Sometimes we say, we got this, I got this, I don't need no help. Especially as men, right? We're kind of hard-headed. We're like, I got this. I got this. Sometimes I close the lid on those 1 liter or 2 liters, whatever they are, the Dr. Peppers. I close it real tight. Close them real tight. Because I feel like, you know, the stuff is going to come out, you know. Then it goes flat. And so I close it real tight. And then sometimes I go open it. I can't even open it. I'm like, Jesus, I'm stronger than I think. And there's been times that I asked my wife for help. I can't do it. I was like, honey, can you bring me the pliers or something? I don't, you know. God is loving. God is loving. Ask him for some help. Whatever it is, I don't care what it is. I don't care what you need in your life. He's there. He's willing. He's more than able to do it. Trust him. Follow him. Listen to his word, his instructions for your life. Amen. Follow his instructions. And so his question is, will you be his child? Will you let him be your father? Amen.